you're taught to not draw attention to yourself. And then when you have zero self-confidence, it just compounds that. So you don't want to go out with people, even, you know, in your job, you're not confident enough to talk to new customers, you know, maintain relationships with existing customers. You don't enjoy life. You're just kind of existing.
Losing weight isn't easy, and some days we can feel like we need some extra help. Welcome to the Weight Loss Warrior podcast, the show where we share inspiring real-life success stories from normal, everyday people like you and I. Listen to how each of our guests managed to overcome their personal challenges to lose the weight they wanted, as they talk about the secrets to their success and give great advice that you can benefit from. Become part of our tribe and use the Weight Loss Warrior podcast as your source of motivation and support to help you on your weight loss transformation. And now, your host and friend, Carl Radley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Weight Loss Warrior podcast with me, Carl Radley, your host. And I'm joined here today by special guest Harvey Irwin from Tulsa in Oklahoma. Harvey, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Really well indeed. And very much looking forward to having a chat with you and hearing about your incredible journey, especially, you know, we're in 2024 now, but 2023 for you was a year of complete transformation, physical and, you know, mental as well, I would imagine. So very excited to hear about that. Thank you for joining me on the show. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
First off, thank you for having me on. So I just turned 35 in January. I'm married. We just celebrated our 13th anniversary also in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We have one son. He's 12. So we started relatively early in our marriage. But it's good. We kind of grew up together a little bit, you know, so experiencing raising kids, and we were still fairly young ourselves. So, but it's fun. I'm a project manager in the construction industry. I started the day that I graduated high school in the field that I'm in now, and I've just worked my way up through the ranks over the years.
Incredible. And yeah, having a 12-year-old son now, but only being 35 yourself, I would imagine it opens the door to so much opportunity, especially now that you've been on this transformation and you've lost a large amount of weight. You have more energy to do things together, and, you know, his young adulthood, you'll still be there and able and wanting to do a lot of those things with him, which I would imagine is amazing. But I could imagine as well, prior to you going on this journey, there was probably a lot of things you couldn't do at the weight you were at. So had you been overweight for a long time, Harvey, before you decided to make a decision to change?
Yes. Yeah. So I've basically been overweight my whole life. I was active enough in my high school years that I was able to maintain not being extremely, you know, unhealthily overweight. But once I, like I said, once I graduated and just went straight into work, the physical activity dipped off significantly, you know, busy with work, busy with family. The stress levels are obviously higher, you know, with being young, having a family to take care of. But I didn't change the same eating habits, and my eating habits were terrible. When I was 12 or 13, I moved in with my dad. My parents were divorced. And, you know, him being a single father, it was, how can I feed this kid the most amount of food on the lowest budget? So it was, you know, buffets, all-you-can-eat restaurants, you know, things like that. And then the competitiveness in both of us was, you know, who can out-eat who? There's one negative side of being so competitive. But the habits didn't change. And once you get into a more sedentary lifestyle, obviously you're not burning near as many calories. So you're going to put on some significant weight. And I certainly did that.
Okay. And because you mentioned you work in the construction industry, but there are many different jobs within the construction industry. And if you're project managing, I would imagine you're more, like you said, a desk job as opposed to being on site and carrying heavy materials around all day. And not only that, I guess age, when you're very young like that, school, high school, moving around, playing, just out and about doing things, that shock And it happens to a lot of people who go to university that they have a sudden change in lifestyle that all of a sudden they're cooking for themselves and either don't know how to cook or they're out drinking every night. And right. the sudden switch into young adulthood. And it sounds as though, although yours was a more, dare I say, responsible role of you know, being a young dad, having a job, responsibilities, it still didn't benefit your health in a positive way in that moment. So how did it feel, if you don't mind talking about it, like did it get in the way of your day-to-day life? Or is it something that was difficult for you to manage being overweight in your 20s?
Absolutely. There very little to no self-confidence. You know, here in this part of the country, we're raised to be seen and not heard. So you're taught to not draw attention to yourself. And then when you have zero self-confidence, it just compounds that. So you don't want to go out with people, you know, you don't want, even, you know, in your job, you're not confident enough to talk to new customers, you know, maintain relationships with existing customers. You just don't enjoy life. You're just kind of existing. You know, there's no photos of, very few photos of me with my family. And that's something that you see a lot. There's quite a few people, especially on Instagram, that have made significant changes to their bodies, and they create some awesome content with their before photos or a lot of videos, you know, where they're out with their friends and they at least look like they're having a good time. You know, and I don't even have any proof basically that I existed because I didn't do anything. You know, I would go to work, I would come home. I didn't like going out just because I was so uncomfortable. I didn't like the way any clothes fit on me. You know, it's just a miserable lifestyle.
Mm. And obviously you were already, you know, at a stage in a relationship then, so wasn't really an issue for you, but did it impact your relationship, you know, with your partner as well, in terms of just really being willing to go out and do things, or, you know, date nights, things like that?
Yeah, for sure. Not only that stuff, but when you're as miserable as I was, you tend to lash out and take it out on people around you. You know, so when you're miserable, it's hard to be happy. You can't be happy with other people when you're not happy with yourself. You can't love other people when you can't love yourself. And my wife is phenomenal. She's been my number one supporter, no matter what the circumstances are. She's always loved me exactly the way that I was, which is awesome, but I took advantage of it. You know, I didn't maintain, I wasn't the same person that she agreed to marry, you know, because I let myself go physically and mentally. So yeah, it definitely had a major impact on the overall well-being of our relationship.
Okay. And I imagine for you as well, there's that, at least, and again, I'm dipping into my own experience a bit, but that feeling of guilt of, you know, the thoughts of that person deserves better, that person deserves more, you know, it's not fair. And you end up partly hating yourself. And like you say, that anger and resentment towards yourself ends up just leaking into every relationship and person who's close to you, you know, the way you show up for yourself, the way you show up for other people. It's all very closely linked. And like you said just now, which I think is absolutely correct, that, you know, you can't love others if you don't love yourself. And there's always that doubt, you know, thinking twice about everything that people say to you, and, you know, the not being able to really relax either is quite difficult. So this was during your 20s and the early part of your 30s. You said you're 35 now, you know, you did this last year. Was there something specific that happened to you, Harvey, that made you decide last year that it was going to be, you know, now was the time to change?
Man, I can't point to any really one thing in particular. You know, when I was 25 or 26, I was really thirsty all the time, and I was going to the bathroom a lot, and just really didn't feel good. And my stepdad is a type 2 diabetic. And I was talking to him and my stepmom about, I don't know if I said stepdad or not. I meant to say my dad is a type 2 diabetic. And I was having a conversation with him and my stepmom, telling her what I was going through. And she said, have you ever tested your blood sugar? I said, no, I never thought to. So they got out one of his meters, and my blood was so thick that it was hard to even get a test sample. And on the first meter, it said high, I think. And I was like, well, that's weird. So we tried a second one, and it just said error. When we got to, you know, dug out some paperwork, and what it was is one of them wouldn't read anything over 300, and the other one wouldn't read anything over 500. And a normal blood level range is like 70 to 120. So obviously I was way off the scale. So I went to the doctor the next day, and my A1C was over 12, and normal range is below, I think, a 5.3. So pre-diabetic is 5.3 to 6.0, and then type 2 diabetic is above that. So I was over double what the high zone for a non-diabetic person is. So I got super into, you know, they put me on two types of insulin and multiple pill forms of medication. My doctor was really panicked, and I didn't really feel, I didn't feel like I felt bad. So I wasn't as concerned with it as he seemed to be. My main deal was I didn't want to be dependent on the insulin and the medication. So I was very dedicated to getting off of that. And it only took a few weeks to where I got my blood sugar down in somewhat normal range. And then for whatever reason, after a few months of that, I just kind of slowly quit worrying about it. And I went back to eating, you know, a lot of everything, you know, to be honest with you. But in particular, sweets, you know, I've got a pretty bad sweet tooth and, you know, just things that weren't healthy and didn't serve me very well. And the reason I bring that up is there wasn't, if anything, you would think that something like that would be like, okay, it's time to make a change. But there wasn't really a one thing. I started seeing some things on really the importance of taking care of your body when it comes to being successful in your career. That kind of triggered it a little bit. I knew that I was overweight, and I knew that I was uncomfortable, and I knew I should have been making a change. But until I kind of correlated how that relates to your success in your career, you know, when you walk up to meet a new customer or a new potential business partner or whatever the case may be, and you're presenting yourself in a way that you don't take care of yourself, you're automatically on the wrong end of gaining their trust, you know. Or if you're going to apply for a job, and because my mindset was always, you know, I will outwork anybody. Well, you know, whatever it takes, I'll come in earlier, I'll stay later, I'll put in more time. So I always had that hard work ethic. But what I didn't really see was if someone that was at my weight, which got up to 350 pounds at one time, and the person standing next to me was in shape, it didn't matter if I could outwork him or not, or if I was a more qualified candidate, he was probably going to get the nod just because of the way that he was presenting himself. You know, so
that's quite difficult, right?
Right. Right. You know, they say that people form an opinion of you in the first, I think, 7 seconds of meeting you. And it takes 7 interactions after that first meeting for them to change their opinion of you. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times you're not going to get those chances to make those follow-up interactions if you don't make the best first impression.
Of course.
So that was a lot of
it. Not to say that you, and sorry to jump in there, because it's not to say that you would be any less deserving of that job or any less capable of doing it. But what we're talking about here are people's perceptions. And unfortunately, we live in a very biased world in which, especially from an employer's perspective, they could also be looking at somebody who's overweight and thinking about potential health problems, you know, health risks, time off. And it is unfair. And I know that, you know, we've been decades and decades doing the same thing and trying to make equality and equity across the genders, you know, a thing. And there's still work to be done there. But I think people will still look and make judgments based on their appearance, almost subconsciously. So I completely agree with what you're saying. I don't think it's fair, but I agree with what you're saying there. Sorry, Harvey, carry on.
Yeah, so my thoughts on that are you're correct. Whether it's right or wrong, that's not for me to decide. It's my job to assess the way that things are and put myself in the best possible position to take advantage of it. It's very hard to change the world, but you can change yourself. And I don't want to say change yourself to fit in with the world, but if you know the game, use the rules to your advantage, right?
So you're absolutely right.
You can try and fight the system. And I'm not even saying don't try and fight the system, but I think to be successful, you have to figure out how the system works and use that to your advantage to get to a certain point to where you are able to fight the system, if that's what you want to do.
Of course. But like you said, it's almost like you're throwing loaded dice in a lot of occasions. And even in situations where that may not be the case, having been overweight myself, I remember, irrespective of what that opportunity may or may not be, probably sabotaging it myself at some level just by prejudging it. And I'd be my own worst enemy and thinking, oh, well, that person's not going to hire me because of the way I look, or that person's going to choose somebody else because of me, or, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy for it. And the energy that you end up bringing to an interview or to a social situation based on that fear and negative, you know, self-chatter that happens, it doesn't even matter what's happening in the environment that you can't control, because you've kind of controlled it yourself to your own disadvantage. And that's why, you know, we can get onto this a bit later. Mindset, something you've discovered has been so impacting in your journey, and something that I see as the key to sustainable weight loss. So you had health concerns, and being, you know, at this stage, early 30s, on the high end and risk level of type 2 diabetes, things had to change. And I would say as well, you were lucky being young, but health was on your side, but it was quite easy to reverse, which was also a benefit. Right. But in terms of the actual weight loss, when did that actually start? When did you make that decision and start your weight loss journey, Harvey?
Yeah, so it was January of last year. My wife and I's anniversary is on the 8th. So we went out of town just for a weekend trip. And we actually ran into my uncle at a restaurant in the town that he lives in. And she took a photo of us together. And we got back and she, you know, she showed me the picture. Maybe she posted it or whatever, you know, saw the picture. And I was just like, I can't keep doing this. You know, I have to change. And I had actually just started a guy that I was working with. Had lost a significant amount of weight, and he got on Mounjaro, which is one of those new weight loss peptide shots. And he had lost like 30 or 40 pounds in a relatively short amount of time. So I had started taking that, I think, in October 22. Mm-hmm. And it did nothing for me. You know, it's designed for a type 2 diabetic treatment. But what they found is a lot of people were taking it and it was causing significant weight loss. And what it does is it blocks your hunger hormones, so you can't eat. And for me, it didn't change blood sugar levels. It didn't change my appetite. I didn't lose a pound. So it just, and I, like you talked about earlier, I already had all this negative self-talk. And that really just amplified it, because all the Hollywood movie stars, people around me are just talking about, oh man, this is the greatest thing ever. I just take this shot once a week and I've lost, you know, 50 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. And I'm like, what is wrong with me that this isn't working? And that's what really led me down the path of not only losing the weight, but having to change my mindset about weight loss to actually be successful with it.
Okay. And I can attest that the adverts, for example, as I said to you before hitting record, I was in New York a couple of weeks ago. And just even on the subway, you know, I took a photo and posted it, but, you know, take this weekly shot and lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the small writing right at the bottom corner, it said, you know, with a controlled, with exercise and a healthy diet.
Right.
But people aren't focused on that. People don't worry. They see the fix and they want to get on that. And, you know, there's so many. There's Wegovy, there's Ozempic, the one that you've mentioned as well. And like you say, essentially, they are treatments for people with diabetes. Not only has it caused problems in people getting the stock for diabetics who need the, right, the injections, it's going to push the prices up. It's going to have a negative effect. And ultimately, and I'm not knocking anybody who's taking it or doing it, but for me personally, it's not curing the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same as any fad diet where you're literally reducing your calorie intake to a dangerous level so that you lose weight. But the second you stop taking that injection, what happens, you know? You can't expect to then the weight stay off because you're going to go back to the same way of eating as before, because as soon as that hunger hormone kicks in, you're going to be, you know, relentless in terms of eating unless you've worked on that mindset. So tell me a bit more about the mindset, Harvey, and what your approach was to help yourself lose weight.
Right. So my original approach was I just started going to the gym and getting on the elliptical, and it was just 30 minutes a day at a moderate pace. And then I just started watching what I ate. You know, instead of having two plates of food at dinner, I would just have one. And then it kind of progressed from there. I started doing 45 minutes and dialing back even a little bit more on my food. And then I started doing, you know, in 30 minutes, I, you know, went back down to doing 30 minutes, but going the distance that I was doing in 45. And then I started doing Muay Thai 3 days a week. So adding in some cardio and some physical activity there. And then I started weightlifting, and then really getting into tracking what I eat and macros and really getting intense workouts in. You know, at one point I was in the gym twice a day doing different weight training and cardio and all the above. So like you said earlier, it does turn into an addiction. You know, something about me is, as I'm either all the way in or I'm all the way out. I can't do anything kind of halfway. So it's a very, depending on what your vices are, that can be a very negative personality trait, or it can be very positive. You know, if your vices are working out and tracking what you eat and positive habits, then that obsessive personality type can be of good benefit. But if your vices are partying, drinking, doing drugs, overeating, things like that, well, then that obsessive personality trait is going to only amplify those negative habits.
I was just
going to
say, it's almost as if, you know, you have an on button and an off button, and there's no speed control. It's either, you know, it's 100 miles an hour in whichever direction you're going in. And like you say, that can work in your favor. And I'm going to make a note because I've got a question for you. I want you to carry on with your story, Harvey. I feel like I interrupted you there, and apologies for that. But I'll have a question in a minute for you regarding that. So carry on. Tell me more.
So paying attention and doing the workouts and tracking my foods and things like that was part of it. And another part of it that, especially as men, we don't put as much emphasis on as we should, is having positive people in our lives. You know, your network is your net worth. You're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time around. We hear all these cliches, but a lot of times as men, we try to isolate ourselves. You know, I don't need anybody. I'm a lone wolf. I can do this on my own. And yeah, there's some honor to that. But at the same time, if you don't have any accountability, if you don't have other people in your life that are pushing you to be better, or, and sometimes it's not even pushing you, but they just are trying to better themselves, and you see that, and it feeds it feeds into other people. You know, I've seen that for me personally, you know, since I've started going to the gym and really taking care of myself, my wife has stepped up, you know, how she goes to the gym and how she eats. My son's gotten really into it. You know, he goes to the gym with me now. He started wrestling. So it's a contagious lifestyle. People see how much better you feel and they want to feel the same way. So I just started putting myself around a lot of people that really focused on taking care of themselves and making themselves better every day. And, you know, I hired coaches and got in on mindset programs. And one of the biggest things that has really stuck with me from early on in this was the quote from Einstein is, you can't fix a problem with the same mindset that created it. So like we talked about, with the shots or the fad diet or, you know, whatever it is, everybody's wanting this quick fix, you know, easy weight loss. Well, and they may lose the weight temporarily, but again, with those, you know, 80 to 90% of people that lose weight, they've gained it all back, and a lot of times even plus some in the first 12 months, is because they haven't changed their relationship with food. They haven't changed their mindset. They haven't changed their daily habits to really get long-term results.
It's incredible, Harvey. And I love that quote because it's so true. And it really has formed, I think, in my coaching work, the basis, the foundation of everything that we kind of step up from that. And you've mentioned a couple of things there that I think are so key, especially as men. First of all, asking for help. First of all, sharing our feelings can be, you know, if we're speaking generically, quite a difficult thing. Now, I've been very fortunate, I'd say, in that I've never been shy or embarrassed to share my feelings. And I think it probably just comes partly just down to the way that I was brought up. But I know for a lot of people, it's very difficult to kind of open up and expose themselves to being seen as weak or something like that, to the point where the suffering that a lot of people, not just men, but women as well, go through alone. But realizing, like you say, you don't have to go and tell somebody your whole life story, but just by being around people who have that positive energy, who are working on themselves, because something you said there as well, you know, your wife saw you bettering yourself, your son saw you bettering yourself. And that must have had such a positive effect on knowing that you're driving that change to the point where the momentum creates more change for yourself and it just perpetuates. And like you say, instead of spiraling into a negative thing, it spirals into something beautiful. And then you are really the core of that success and helping other people. And I know that this is something, and the reason I would imagine that you became a coach as well, so that you could help others to do the same. Before we get onto that, tell me your journey. So you were tracking calories, exercising, and it sounds as though in the very beginning you started off, you know, doing some exercise, but you weren't going too hard at it. And then it was only a bit later that you really introduced a stronger focus on your diet. One of the things that I think a lot of people get stuck with is the fact that they think everything has to be perfect and nailed from day one. And that also prevents people from even getting started because, you know, if they don't have their diet in complete order, if they don't have their exercise done correctly. But it sounds as though you just got started and then made changes along the way. And did that benefit you, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, when people set goals that are really unachievable in the short term, another quote that I hear a lot is, people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And you can quantify that with different time ranges, you know, months to years, weeks to months. So they say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to track my calories down to the dot. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do this. And then they get into it and, you know, maybe they do go really hard the first few days. Well, then they get sore. Or maybe they do injure themselves or whatever the case may be. And then they take a day off And then one day turns into two, and two turns into three. And the next thing you know, months have gone by, and you haven't darkened the door of a gym since. And you've been eating, you know, a carton of ice cream every night. So I think when people first start out, they have all these lofty goals, but they don't build into it. They don't build the habits that are, again, habits, you know, creating good habits, long-term habits is going to set you up for success. And just by going, actually, it's Kevin Gates. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He's a hip hop artist here in the States. And even he started talking about taking care of his body. And he said, just go to the gym and do one push-up. And then the next day, go and do two. Because if you go in the gym tomorrow and you try to do 30 push-ups, well, then you're going to be sore and you're not going to want to do push-ups for a few days after that. Whereas if you just go in and do one, or you just go on and get the treadmill for 10 minutes. Or I've heard of a story of a guy, all he did was go to the gym for like months and just get a cup of coffee. He didn't do any exercise. It was just building that habit of going to the gym. And then he started doing, you know, a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. I think, yeah, definitely. I think that people have too high of goals that they want to achieve in such a short amount of time. And then when they don't reach those goals, they haven't changed their mindset. They still have the negative self-talk. Oh, why? What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this? It must be a medical issue, which is statistically not very likely that you have a medical issue that you can't lose weight. But it just feeds into that negative self-talk, and you're constantly beating yourself up, and it just creates such a negative overall view of health and fitness.
Completely agree. And this actually leads into the thing I said earlier I wanted to ask you, Harvey, because you mentioned, you know, being an all or nothing type of person. It can be a benefit. It can be a blessing and a curse, I'll say, because one of the things I've noticed in myself when I've gone at it, you know, full force, today's the day, it's Monday, first day of the year, whatever it may have been, everything has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. The moment that it's not absolutely perfect, I would go in the complete opposite direction and be like, well, if I can't do everything right, then I'm going to do nothing right. And I'm just not going to do it at all. Mm-hmm. And this pursuit for perfection, I was described by my own coach as, you know, somebody with perfectionist tendencies. And I laughed because honestly, I've never once thought of myself as a perfectionist. But when you start to look at the fact that a lot of the time things I haven't done is because it wasn't just right, or it wasn't exactly how I wanted it, or I was waiting for something to happen. And it comes back to that. And I think you can prevent so much progress by getting stuck in your own head. And now I'm all about the 80-20, you know, if you can at least, like you say, create some simple habits. They don't have to be the key pillars that are there that make the overall change. Maybe that has to come later on at different stages. But just by proving to yourself that you can create one new habit, that can give you so much inspiration to then go on and try something else without trying to do it all at once. And you lost 110 pounds in just under a year. Mm-hmm. So that change in consistency has really paid off for you. And how has it changed your life, Harvey? Now, because we, you know, we're a good few months into 2024. Tell me more about life today compared to how it was.
I am a totally different person. I get asked that question, you know, how has your life changed, and how is your life better? And I always say, my life is better in every single measurable aspect. I am in such a better place mentally. Obviously, I'm in a better place physically. My relationship with my wife and my son has never been better. My career, I don't talk a lot about how much money I make, but I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life. Everything is better. And I can't imagine like going back to being such a miserable person. And that's why I may be jumping ahead, but that's why I've decided to do the coaching thing, is because like I can't keep this to myself. As good as I feel, and as closely as I relate, that I can relate to people that are significantly overweight, like I can see when I see people that are in the same position that I was in, Like, I can hear every thought that they have the second I see their face. I can read their minds because it's been so drastic. Everything, it's just, I can't even hardly put it into words how much better my life is now than it was, you know, a year ago. I was very early in the journey, but even then, but, you know, 2 years ago, I don't look the same. I don't talk the same. I'm doing podcasts. Like, there's nothing in my life that hasn't changed and hasn't changed for the absolute best.
That's incredible. And so genuinely inspiring as well, because like you say, the thoughts that somebody is having who is suffering and wanting to change, lose weight, improve their mental state, like you say, you've been there. And I'm sure before you started this journey, there was very little of you that really believed it could be, that, you know, your life was ever going to be any different. Or, you know, most people tend to accept it and be like, well, this is just how I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So then hearing somebody come to you as a coach and tell you, or not even wanting to get started because they don't believe that there's any other option. I imagine you're also the same as me, but it kind of just drives this fire inside of you to want to show people and say, actually, it is possible. It is possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me then, this has taken you on. You've had an amazing 2023. And in the last few months, you've been working on building up your own coaching business. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So it's a mindset focused program that has fitness and nutrition as secondary habits, because the body and the mind work so closely together. You know, you can have a great mindset, but if you're not taking care of your body, it's not going to equal out, and vice versa. Even if you're taking great care of your body, but you don't have a positive mindset and a good outlook on life, what's the purpose of having, you know, chiseled abs and looking like a Greek god if you always have, you know, negative self-talk, or you always view things in a negative way? So my program, like I said, is based around mindset. When people come to me, I meet them where they are, because I went from extreme lack of any physical exercise, lack of any nutrition, lack of any mindset, you know, improvement, to now I'm absolutely obsessed with all of the above. They come to me and they say, hey, I want to improve here and here. You know, I've got this much time that I've been wanting to do this, whatever the case may be, whatever their backstory is. And like you said before, I had bought into all those thoughts of, well, I'm just supposed to be fat. I'm always going to be this way. You know, I almost accepted it. You know, like we talked about with that shot, that was like my last Hail Mary. You know, all of this magic shot that everybody's taken, it's guaranteed to work, and then it didn't work. Like, you want to talk about some absolutely horribly negative self-talk? I had. So I can meet somebody wherever they are in their journey. They come with me, I get them on a custom workout plan that fits them where they are currently, whether they have access to the gym, they don't have access to the gym, whether they want to work out 3 days a week, 6 or 7 days a week. They upload their pictures. They, you know, I look at their pictures and their weight and their goals, and I set their macros based on, you know, where they are now. I'm not going to cut them down to just a ridiculously low amount, because this is sustainable success that we want to set up. I don't want you to go from not tracking what you eat at all to eating, you know, 1600 calories a day, and you have to hit everything right on the number, because the first time that you don't do it, well, then that negative self-talk creeps back in. So it's something that we're going to ease into, especially if you haven't paid attention to how you eat at all. And then we also come together on weekly phone call, you know, weekly group calls, where if you're struggling with any mental issues, you know, your negative thoughts, how do I overcome this or that? Or if you're not understanding the workout, or if you're having issues, I have spent a ton of time diving into the most filling, lowest calorie foods that are available. So, you know, if you're like, I'm having a really hard time going over on my fats or getting enough protein, or I'm eating too many carbs, or whatever the case may be, I've spent so much time researching that I can say, hey, instead of eating this, let's swap that out for this. You can eat twice as much of it. So you're going to get more, you're going to feel full for longer, you know, and, you know, it's just going to help you on your journey. So it's a really all-encompassing mindset, fitness, nutrition, because it's all really entangled, and it should be entangled, because you can't get the full result of one without working on the other two.
You're absolutely right. And by starting with the mindset and focusing on the mindset, it creates that environment for everything else to be successful around it, which is ultimately the goal. So it sounds incredible, Harvey. I wish you all the best with it as well. And, you know, as a coach myself, as somebody who's quite new to this, it's an exciting time having that opportunity to help others. And the thing I love about this space as well is that, yeah, essentially one person could work with either of us, but I don't feel that it's competitive in nature that we're kind of fighting over people. If anything, I'd rather refer somebody who I thought would be a better fit to another coach and see them succeed. And I think that's one of the most honest things about, I think when done the right way, this type of coaching, that you have the client or person's best interest at heart and just want to see them flourish, whether it's with yourself, whether it's with somebody else. But the end result, you still want for them to experience that change and transformation. And I think that's a very honorable thing as well. But, you know, you put your own ego aside and focus on how best to help that person. Do you have any advice that you could share, Harvey, with the listeners of the Weight Loss Warrior podcast?
So a couple of things. One, if you know that you need to get started, you know you need to lose weight. A rocket uses over 90% of its fuel reserves in like the first 4 feet of taking off. So it's got the whole rest of its journey on very little fuel. And why I say that is it takes the most amount of effort to get started. Once you get that momentum started, it's so much easier to maintain it. And, you know, Alex Ramosi talks about fear being a mile wide and an inch deep. Take that first step. Promise you it's not as bad as what you've got it built up in your mind to be. So just take one step forward a day. And that's how success is built. You take one step forward a day. You just try to be 1% better today than you were yesterday. Another thing that's really helped me is I've adopted the mindset of there are no losses. I don't lose. I either win or I learn what doesn't work. If you only use your experiences as feedback instead of judgment on yourself, hey, I didn't go to the gym today. Okay, well, what caused me to not go to the gym today? Well, it was, you know, this excuse or that happened or, you know, whatever it may be. And if it's a controllable thing that kept you from doing that, then you just know, hey, I just need to not, you know, I need to go to bed earlier, or, you know, I need to pack my bag the night before, whatever it is, you know, especially if it's a controllable thing. If it's an uncontrollable, then you just say, hey, it happened. I didn't have any control over it. It's not a big deal. I didn't gain all this weight in one day. So I'm not going to, you know, undo all the progress that I made just because I missed one day. So I think a lot of people would benefit from changing their mindset of wins and losses to I win, or the L is learn. I just learn what doesn't work, and I know what adjustments I have to make to set up myself to win.
Of course. And I think it's much easier to get back on the horse, keep going, and have that forgiveness for yourself when you don't look at it as a massive failure. Because that's another thing that derails so many people, that, you know, one small hiccup. And our lives now more than ever, they're so hectic, they're so complicated, there's so many things, expectations, things that we have to do, that the odds are kind of stacked against you a little bit in terms of being able to, you know, live the perfect life and do everything as you want to. Now, I would love to wake up, have a nice breakfast, go to the gym, go for a swim, do these things. But, you know, by 10 o'clock in the morning, I've already, I don't know how many things I've had to do just to get the kids to school, just to start my day. And right. this isn't even with really a focus on myself. So you have to really look at that and then carve out time for yourself on top of that, which can be tricky, which is, again, goes back to the idea of not looking for that perfection, but small wins, small changes that you can make that can really have an impact, and then build on that. And that for me is the long-term way to do it. Sadly, Harvey, we're running out of time, but I'd love for the listeners to have the opportunity to come and find you on your Instagram and, you know, see more about your journey, find out more about your coaching if they're interested, and really just see how you've done the amazing work on yourself that you have done for both mindset and physically as well. Where can people come to see you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is bison_mindset_fitness. So, and I'll say this briefly. The reason that I chose bison is a lot of people call him buffalo. It's an American animal. It's the only animal that we know of in nature that when it sees a storm coming, it knows the best way to go is straight into it, and or the quickest way to get through it is just to go straight through it rather than running away from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my program is based around. We know we have problems. We're going to face them head on, and we're going to come out stronger on the other side for it. That's bison_mindset_fitness.
Amazing, Harvey. And you'll have to forgive me for what I'm about to say, but it's just you give me the perfect opportunity to ask, do you know the difference between a buffalo and a bison? The answer is you can't wash your hands in a buffalo. and I'm sorry, but as soon as you said that, the dad joke radar was flashing on my mind. I was like, there's a joke there. You've got to do it. But I didn't want to take away from you what a strong message it is by having bison fitness, because, you know, I think of a bison, and literally just when I went to the Natural History Museum in New York, they've got these amazing, like these scenes, and they had bison there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what plural of bison. I don't want to say bisons.
Yeah, I think it's bison. It was plural or singular.
But they had them there, and they were enormous
mm-hmm.
and really impressive to just stand there and, like, obviously never have done it in the wild, but just to look at this huge, strong creature. And like you say, you can just imagine it weathering the storm. And I really like that. So congratulations, first of all, you know, on your own journey, Harvey, but the other lives that you're going to change through your coaching as well. So I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on today's show and for being this week's Weight Loss Warrior. And I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you, man. And let's connect again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Harvey. Bye-bye.
I'd also like to say a big thank you to you, our listeners. I appreciate you joining us at the Weight Loss Warrior podcast and would love that you become part of our tribe. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast to never miss a new Weight Loss Warrior tell their story. We share brand new episodes every single Monday and Thursday and hope that you join us next time. You can also find us on Instagram, where we share great tips and advice on how you can lose weight in a safe and sustainable way. Simply search for Weight Loss Warrior Podcast and follow us today. Remember, be kind to yourself and keep looking forward. You can achieve your goals.